The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
This is Ian Connor from Richmond, Virginia, and I love the Mickey Miles Podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles and More Podcast. Your one stop for information on Disney races, Disney vacations, Disney theme parks, and more. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles and More podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean, Chris Eliopoulos, and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 474 of the Mickey Miles and More podcast. My name is Mike Scopa, and with me on today's show is Michelle Scribner-McLean. Hello, Michelle.
Hello, Michael. How are you?
Dealing
with an injury.
Dealing with an injury.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, so getting better, but it's one of those things where, and you know that you want to get back out there, but you don't want to rush it and extend the injury time. So I'm just trying to be as patient as I can. But when the nice weather comes, I want to be out there.
All right. Well, since we fired our other co-host, it's just you and I, right?
Yeah.
So
I remember who that guy was.
Yeah, I don't remember either. But I do have a shout out, and by the time this comes out, this race that we like to call around here the Boston Marathon will be over. But we're recording this before people run, and Chad Werick from the Mickey Milers and Kimberly Torres Markey, and I think Gail. Goofy Gail is running, too. They're all running the Boston Marathon. On Patriots Day, there's a trivia question. I don't think I have the day off, or I had the day off. But most of the rest of the world does not celebrate. But we really wish them a wonderful, wonderful race. It really is a life-changing experience. And also, I know she doesn't really listen, but Catherine Switzer, I got to meet her at one of the Boston Marathon Expos.
KDS.
Yes, yeah, 70 years old. She's a famous athlete who got a bib as Kay Switzer and was running, and they tried to take her off the course, and she ran anyway.
Yep.
So I can't wait to watch Catherine Switzer, and I know everybody else is going to have a blast. So.
Oh, they had a blast.
They had a blast, yeah. Yes. We're changing tenses.
I wonder if Gail and Kimberly.
I don't think I've ever seen them run without costumes.
Dressed as Mary Poppins and, I don't know. Anyways.
So, since we don't have a third co-host, do we have a song?
Wow.
I have a song that I don't think.
Okay, you have a song.
Yeah, it's by your favorite, Iggy Azalea.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I know you're always talking about Iggy Azalea.
And a flower.
And, Azalea is a flower. And I was actually, I'm coming back from a back injury, and out there I was out doing a little running today, and I listened to Bounce. So it has a big E next to it, so you have to know that it's explicit. But it's a great song for running.
Nice.
Yeah.
I do have a tip as we get into the nice weather, and I'm sure people have a lot of plans out there. It's very apparent to all of us that a Walt Disney World or a Disneyland or any kind of a Disney trip involves a lot of money. So you try to figure out how to get around that. Many years ago, I figured it out. I figured out that there were very different seasons within the Disney calendar, Disney Resort calendar, regular value, holiday, and all that. And I noticed that they have been slicing them and dicing them even more so than ever before. So my tip is to check to see the season rates, because it can really make a difference. And I want to take just a couple of minutes, Michelle, just maybe 2 or 3 minutes, just to make my point. Number one, so if you're going to stay, let's say, at Port Orleans French Quarter, I wanted to use a moderate resort as an example. If you were going to go at this time of year, you're probably going to pay around $300 a night, $313 a night.
Wow, really?
At Port Orleans French
Quarter
for Easter.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Now, as you get towards, let's say, from late April to late May, it changes in that $313 a night. This is for a standard room, by the way. Mm-hmm. It's around $246 a night. Now, obviously, when you stay Fridays and Saturday, that's not the price. It goes up. So you can expect that it's going to go up maybe $20 or $30 a night on Fridays and Saturdays. But again, $313 for Easter week. From late April to late May, it's $246 a night. And so what should you do?
What should I do, Mike?
Look for the best rates. In the past, value season usually began around August 15th or August 17th. So if you look around the last 2 weeks in August, you'll notice that there's a difference in price. This year, it goes down to $232 per night at Port Orleans French Quarter. Again, those are rack rates. It's not annual pass rates or any kind of discount rate. So there you go, $232 versus $246 or $313. So
Could be another whole night or two on your vacation.
So, you know, check with your travel agent. They would know the rates. They would know the best times to go. And so you delay so you don't go during the holiday season where you really pay through the nose. It's just a tip that I've learned through the years, and that's a good thing to know.
Yeah. We should do a podcast on this because I know we did it on your other podcast a long time ago, but taking your kids out of school, whether or not you should do it.
Yeah.
We should bring that debate up again. So I wanted to mention that I have some kind of interesting news. I'll tell our listeners about it, that this week I'm going to have a sort of pre-conversation with a group in France, and I was contacted today. This is like a year in the making by the folks that run Disney over in Paris. And we're going to see if we can't get them on the show to talk about the marathon, the half marathon there.
It'll be interesting.
Yeah, it will be interesting. So they want to kind of have Disney's always very cautious. So they want to have a conversation with us about what we might talk about. And so we'll see how that goes. That would be cool, huh?
I think, Michelle, one of the things that I'd be interested in is what they learned from the first time and what type of adjustments and improvements they'll be making for this coming year's Disneyland Paris half marathon.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm also making my plans. Exciting. I'm going to be spending a month in Orlando again, or mostly in Orlando. So,
poor kid.
I'm excited. So I'll be broadcasting from down there.
Awesome.
Yes. Excited.
Good luck.
Yes.
Good luck. We're thinking about what kind of a podcast we'd want to do this week, and one of the things that we talked about was that many times we can
be critical.
Well, we were always looking for things to say, okay, why did Disney do this? Why did Disney do that? And it's not always fair to do that. Mm-hmm. I think that we should always look at both sides. So what Michelle and I decided to do is we started to make a list of things that we think Run Disney does correct, does right. And for those of you who have never run in a Run Disney race, you're probably going to find this to be very, very interesting.
Is this going to be a top 10? We're going to each offer one?
Well, we'll go through it, and I don't know how many we'll do. We may have more than 10. We may have less than 10. But this is just to give those who have never done a Run Disney race an idea of what we think is really good. And
I think for us, too, it's kind of recenters all of us as to why we run Disney.
Sure.
And why we keep on signing up for these races.
Well, so, yeah, why? So is it kind of hypocritical that we complain, yet we keep going back?
Yeah.
Probably. So.
No, but there are a lot of good reasons why we're there. So
Michelle, do you want to start us off?
Yeah, so I brainstormed my list, and I kind of thought, what's the biggest reason I go? And I think you're going to be surprised at my number one. And I'm going to use this choice as a comparison to other races that I've done. Not too many places, just I haven't done extensive running, but Boston, California, Florida, New Hampshire. My biggest reason, the thing that I admire about Run Disney, is I always feel very safe. I think they put safety first. Even when it's a decision that is tough for them, like making a half marathon 6.5 miles, or even canceling. So it's not always the decision we want, but they make sure that they let people know about the conditions out in the course. The communication is everywhere, all over the resorts and definitely at the race start. So safety.
Yeah.
And they do it better than any other place I've ever seen.
I would add to that, Michelle, that you are probably more safe at a Disney race than any other race anywhere.
Mm.
And that says a lot. Safety first.
Yeah. You like my choice?
Very good. You know, you brought up what?
I was going to say, I wonder when we do this, we haven't looked at each other's lists, how much overlap there's going to be.
Oh, it will be interesting.
Yeah.
You know, you talked about the decision to be safe, and one of the toughest decisions they have ever made was in January when they canceled the Walt Disney World Half Marathon. And it wasn't until 2 days ago that I got my medal. And I had never looked at the medals when I was there. I never look at them for some reason. So this was the first time I actually saw the medal, and it was pretty cool.
For the half marathon.
For the half marathon, yeah. So it's the was it the 20th? And I'm looking at it right here. Was it the 20th? I'm not sure. Yeah.
Yeah,
no.
See the 210s?
Yeah, see the 210s, yeah. So that brings up something that I don't know if there are any races out there that are equal to Disney in terms of the medals, the time and effort and creativity put forth into the medals and how they try to make each year a little bit different than the previous year. When I started running Run Disney, the medals early on were the same every year. Then they decided to change them. So I think that the unique medals that they have very much involved with the theming of the race. They're always trying to tweak them a bit. The lanyards are very nicely done.
Ribbons.
Yeah, I think that Disney really does a good job in the medals, and I can't think of another race that does. I mean, there are Spartan races out there that have crazy medals that you put together, but I really think that the Run Disney series is outstanding with when it comes to medals.
I wonder how many people have signed up for a race just because of the medal.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. I know that was one of the things that prompted me to do my first marathon, the spinning Mickey, old Mickey, new Mickey marathon medal was enticing to me.
Yeah.
So. All right. Next on my list, if I put them in order, I'm going to be... I'm sure you're going to agree with me, but I think the Run Disney announcers are the best that I've heard anywhere. Comparing to other races, the other announcers are good, but you get Rudy, Carissa, John Pelkey, they're awesome. I just think that they are part of the show and part of the draw, and all three of them have become friends to so many of the runners. They put themselves out there on social media and also face-to-face. They're so friendly, and they're cheerleaders to everybody, regardless of your skill level or how long it takes you to cross that. They are just as enthusiastic, if not more, for that last person crossing the finish line. So that's one of the reasons that I would say Run Disney, one of the ways Run Disney does it right.
That was on my list, too.
Uh-huh.
And so what I want to do is I want to add to that one other item that I had on my list, and that is that I believe that people like John and Carissa and Rudy have very much contributed to the fact that Run Disney race weekends have become very, very big social events.
It's like a family reunion. Huh?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so there are people who, after so many years, and especially if you're on a running club, you go down there, it's old home week. You can't walk around the expo without running into someone you know, someone you've been running with or friends with for 5, 10, 15 years. So Run Disney has done very well too. And they probably didn't do this consciously, but they have nurtured a very social atmosphere during these race weekends. And contributing to that is Carissa, is Rudy, is John. They call out the names as you're running by. You know, I get a, you know, they become friends of ours. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when I, you know, I wave to them or whatever, I don't have to hear my name. you know, I just know that they're there and they're there to help us out. So I think that Disney has done a tremendous job in making the Run Disney Race weekends a very, very strong social event.
Mm-hmm. We just need to get Rudy back in California.
Yeah.
All right, do your next one.
Oh, that was my next one. I went.
Oh, all right. You're social event. Okay, yeah. So my next one has to be running in the parks. Of course, that's why we run Disney. You want to run in the parks. Now, we can't always run through the castle, but to me, even more exciting than running through the castle is running up Main Street USA. I don't know. Every time it's choking me up now just thinking about it. But every time I get on Main Street and turn the corner and see, bam, the castle there, I think we've talked about this a lot on the show. I just walk because it is just, you know, people cheering and it's just such a nice time of the day. But all the parks, you know, having done the marathon a few times, getting a chance to see, you know, run through all the parks, Animal Kingdom and, you know, Riding Expedition Everest. So, well, yeah, we go there to run through the parks. We run backwards, we run forwards, every configuration. So, Mike?
I can tell you that I've been...
Is that on your list?
No.
Oh, wow.
But I want to add, I've been very fortunate, very, very lucky to have been in a position where I have been in the theme parks at any time during a 24-hour period. I've been in the Magic Kingdom any time from midnight to midnight. I've been in Epcot and all of them. They're very special times when it's been a 24-hour thing or whatever. But running up Main Street, and I don't know how many times I've done it, 30, 40, 50 times, who knows, I still get a big thrill out of it. Mm-hmm. Every time you run up Main Street USA, it's like running up for the very first time.
Yep.
I don't really see the crowd.
It never gets old. It never gets old.
I don't hear the crowd. Mm-hmm. I don't see the crowd. It's just me and the Disney legacy. And it's really interesting. So that's a 100 to maybe 150-yard stretch that just is magical. And it's because of all the memories that resort brings to people. But I agree that that's magical running through the parks, even though we do criticize it. Mm. We'd like to run through the parks more.
Oh, my God, yeah. And, you know, every time I'm on Main Street or even at different parts of the park, you know, I'll say, I ran here. I remember running, or I'll just think of it in my head, like, wow, it was really fun when I ran here. So, okay, you're next.
We've talked a lot about Expo, the Disney Expos, or in Disney Expos, and we've talked about how crazy it is for the merchandise. And I think it's kind of neat that there are specially themed merchandise offerings for every race. You walk through there and there are shirts, there are caps, there are all kinds of jackets and medals and magnets and whatever you want to offer to people who are going to a Disney race and want to bring back something that reminds them of the race. Yeah, they'll get a medal. Yeah, they'll get a race shirt, but there may be something else that they may want. And it's a big deal for a lot of people. It just reminds them of, oh yeah, I remember when I did the 2000 blah, blah, blah race. And there, it's crazy. It's crowded. Some cases, they're overpriced. But I really think that it's nice to have an opportunity to purchase something that will remind you of a race beyond the race shirt, beyond the medal. So I think that's a good deal, too.
Yeah, so I can piggyback on that. That was not on my list, but kind of in a bigger sense it was, because even though we have complained about the expos, I think the expos, you know, maybe the Boston Marathon Expo is a little bit more exciting to me, but I think the expos at Run Disney are, believe me, my wallet has shown that I've liked them very, very much. So you have, you know, the thrill of picking up your packet, your shirts. You have the thrill of the really cool merchandise, meeting the announcers, but also the speaker series, too. So I think the expos are really good in general, and they're fun. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, all right, should I go next?
Yeah.
All right. So next one on my list is the other runners. So I think that Run Disney has a way to pull together such an interesting, diverse group of people who are the runners who go to these events. So it could be a mother and daughter running. It could be a family running together dressed as the Incredibles. It could be people who like to, you know, wear costumes. It could be somebody who has dealt with some sort of physical issue or, you know, some other personal challenge has, you know, beat a disease or fighting a disease. I think that as a whole, they are among the most inspirational group of runners. And I love the runners at Run Disney. Polite, you know, you get a few people here and there always who, you know, you wish they had different manners, but in general, 99% of the people are friendly, kind. And so I think, you know, just running with these other runners is a privilege, regardless of the race. So.
Yeah, I think we're going to be overlapping here a little bit.
Did you say that?
No, oh. One of the things I wanted to say is, maybe this isn't an overlap, but I think, again, when it comes to Run Disney, I don't think of any other race series that encourages people to run more than this brand of running. And the reason why I say that is that they offer all kinds of races. They offer it to, they offer the 5Ks and the 10Ks and the halves and the fulls and the challenges and the kids races. And one of the things that draws everybody is not just the racing and the social part, but it's on Disney property, like you said earlier about the parks. So I think that they do very much more than any other race series of getting people off the couch and saying, you know, I want to do a 5K down at Walt Disney World, or I want to do a race at Disneyland. I think that they have contributed a lot to everyone getting off their rear ends and getting into shape and running. I think that that says a lot for them. I think that they have recognized that not everyone is an elite runner, and they have catered to that that average runner, the mid-pack runner. And I think they recognize that that's their clientele right now. That's their customer, the mid-pack runner, not the elite.
Mid-pack to back of the pack.
Mid-pack to back of the pack. So, and you've got people from all ages, all sizes, all kinds of backgrounds. And Disney has encouraged a lot of runners, and I think that's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. All right, am I going next or you?
You can go. I think I have one more, Michelle.
Oh, boy, I have more than that. Okay, we didn't talk about this one, and that would be the shirts. So even today, it was a very warm day. I was out and about wearing the princess, what I'm still wearing, the Enchanted 10K shirt, out shopping, and somebody started asking me about running Disney races and said how much they like the shirt. I always get a kick every time I go exercising of selecting a shirt and kind of thinking, looking at how cool it is, and then thinking of the memory that went along with that shirt. So, as you do, I have dozens of them now, but I haven't given any of them up. I really like them. So those shirts are, I think even more than the medals for me, because it's something that I revisit over and over again. And especially the shirts that are like races that were a challenge to me, you know, like my Dopey or Goofy shirts. But even my very first half marathon, those are treasures. So I love the shirts. Mike?
One of the things that I've often thought that was very much a component of their success is their originality and their creativity when it comes to races. Over the years, I've seen a lot of things that have evolved, and it has made the runners very excited. When I first started doing Run Disney races a long time ago, 12, 15 years ago, whatever, there were, it's been that long. There were, just your regular races. There was a 5K, there was a Susan Komen race, and then there was race for the taste, the Disneyland, the Disney World 10K Classic, which is now Wine and Dine. It has evolved. It evolved into the Wine and Dine half marathon at night. And then when you finished, you had an opportunity for either a little bit of wine or some beer. And then, of course, you've got the Walt Disney World Marathon Weekend, where you've got the Dopey Challenge, the Goofy Challenge. You've got that. And then all of a sudden, we saw challenges popping up all over the place. Things like the Glass Slipper Challenge, Disney Dumbo Double Dare, And of course, last year, which is something that drew me in, when they did the Kessel Run, where you would do the Star Wars Challenge out in California in January, the light side, and then you do the dark side in April. And because you did that, you get the Kessel, the Coast to Coast Challenge. They're all very much very creative, and I think that that's a very good thing that they do. And
what about the marathon relay? That was
the marathon relay, and that was pretty cool because a lot of us, when you think about it, Michelle, for a lot of us, and I don't know if Goofy was around back then when a lot of us got to see if we could run halves back to back, and then a lot of us went on to do, you know, Goofy and Dopey. So I think that Disney touched us and helped us stretch and helped us reach and helped us prove to ourselves what we can do. So my hat's off to them for that.
I like it. Okay, let's see. Here's one, Mike, that even though we can critique, I think that you would also agree that Disney tries to make improvements. So there were things that have happened in inaugural races that didn't go so well. The thing that pops into my mind was the first wine and dine experience, the nighttime wine and dine. But along the way, there were things that I think we would all agree could have been improved. And I think that in many cases, Run Disney has stepped up to the plate and improved them. There were questions about, I think over the last few years, signing up for races has become easier. You're now in a virtual queue. You can buy some of the merchandise. You don't have to be there to do it. But also on the race course, too, I think that they've listened to what people have said and made improvements. So I would give them a high five for that. What do you think?
I agree. I have one last one. Mm-hmm. And it talks about people like Jeff Galloway and Tara Guidus and the people that they had at the speaker series. I think that they were, they being Disney, I think they were very smart to bring in people who could do whatever they felt that they needed to do to help us do what we needed to do as far as running. Jeff offered many countless hours of advice to people, and there are a lot of people out there who would not be doing the races that they're doing if it wasn't for Jeff teaching them how to do run, walk, run. Tara, when she was doing the speaker series, was very good with nutrition and everything. It was very, very important that runners got to talk with them and got to meet with them. And so they offered that opportunity for all the runners to talk and speak with Jeff and learn from Tara about nutrition and how to make sure that your body is ready to run the race before and after. So I think that that's a big deal, because not only did they keep them, not only were they speaker series, but they were around. You could talk with them, and they were very, very, very friendly. So I think that's a big deal, too. I think that's my last one.
All right. Well, I have a few more, but I'm going to say that my last one, I'm going to combine them. I think the volunteers at Run Disney Events are excellent and very well trained. All race volunteers are awesome, but I think the people who come back again and again and again to be volunteers for Run Disney are terrific, and also the cast members. When I first started running Disney races, people would say, "What's that?" Cast members would say, "What's that? You ran a race?" No, they all seem to know about the races, and just like your happy birthday button or your celebration button, cast members come up and they'll make a comment about your medal and make you feel really great. So I think that's a really special aspect of, both of those things are really special aspects of Run Disney races. I had a few more.
Would you like to do a quickie?
I had the bibs are awesome. The Run Disney bibs are like works of art. I thought that the buzz that they have for inaugural races and the actual inaugural races that kind of goes under the creativity thing that you were talking about is excellent. And I think that is my list. Yeah.
All right. So, again, we have been critical, and I think we'll still continue to be critical in some areas. But I think overall, one last thing I guess I could say is that they do listen. Mm-hmm. We have been critical in the past, and they have listened. And you don't know until you try how everything's going to run. So So for those of you who have been thinking about a run Disney race, those are the reasons why Michelle and I go back, and many of our friends go back, because those are the elements, those are the components that we feel make for a successful race series. So with that, we're going to sign off. And so for Michelle Scribner-McLean, this is Mike Scopa saying we'll see you on the road and in the parks.
The Mickey Miles podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
We hope you enjoyed listening to today's episode of the Mickey Miles and More podcast. If you would like to support the podcast, please go to mickeymiles.podbean.com and click the green Become a Patron button in the upper right-hand corner of the menu bar. Thank you for your support. Don't forget, our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/mickeymilespodcast. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/mickeymilespod. Last of all, don't forget, if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@mickeymilespodcast.com. We'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles and More podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying thanks for listening and all your support. And until next time, we'll see you on the road.